Do you know the number one thing that surprises engaged couples? Take a guess. The sheer amount of decisions they have to make while planning a wedding. Indoors or outdoors? How many guests? Are kids invited? Controversial. Which cake flavor? Seriously, how do you even begin to figure out what's right for you? That's where Zola comes in. Zola has everything you need to make every wedding decision a piece of cake, from choosing your dream wedding venue and vendors to deciding how to best spend your budget. With tons of customizable wedding websites, save the dates and invites, every detail will feel like you. Zola will even help you choose the gifts, experiences, and cash funds you really want. The next thing you know, you've planned your whole wedding all in one place. From getting engaged to getting married, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, Bills Mafia. We know there's only one topic every day. All Bills, all the time. And now Matt Bove and Sal Capaccio are going really deep, talking Bills all year long, because it's always game day in Buffalo.
Hey, everyone. Matt Bove here for a quick post-game edition of It's Always Game Day in Buffalo, following the Bills' 44-42 loss to the Los Angeles Rams. It'll just be me on this episode of the podcast. Sal heading back to Buffalo. I'm getting ready to head to the airport relatively soon. The Bills certainly giving us plenty to talk about in this episode of the show, just because it was once again such a crazy game. Feels like the Bills play in a lot of these types of games these days. And there's also questions about the way the game ended. And I feel like there are times where the coaching staff deserves to be criticized, and this is one of them. And I'm not suggesting that the coaches lost them this game, because it would have been a long shot anyway. But I feel like a good coach at the end of the game has to give their team as much of a chance to win as possible. And in this situation, the Bills coaching staff did not do that on multiple occasions. I think there's an instance of that with Sean McDermott. I think there's instances of that with Matt Smiley, the special teams coach, and really just Bobby Babbage in general. The defense had a really, really bad day, and they could not stop really anything that the Rams tried to do. We'll specifically start with the quarterback sneak timeout stuff, and then we'll work our way back, because I know that's going to be what a lot of people are talking about. The decision to sneak it for the quarterback sneak on first and goal from the 1 yard line was dumb. That needs to be communicated to Josh Allen that that cannot happen. Now, from what it sounded like after when we talked to Josh Allen, he was just running the play that was called. I don't think he audibled into it. Sean McDermott said that has been their play all year. They're going to live and die with that play. And to a level, I respect and I understand that. But situational football has to come into play. They have to situationally know that we cannot let this clock run. So we will throw it multiple times, and then if that doesn't work, then maybe you try the quarterback sneak. And then at that point, you're fighting for your life anyway. You take the timeout to do what you got to do. But they could have thrown two quick passes in probably 6 or 7 seconds from the 1 yard line. And if those don't work, then you try the quarterback sneak and you go from there. So I just think they put themselves in a position that they didn't need to put themselves in. And the way the offense was playing, who knows? You stop the Rams, you get the ball back with 40 seconds. Tyler Bass indoors probably has like a 63-yard range. Josh Allen could make one crazy play, get you down the field, and then you have a chance to win the game. Is it a great chance to win the game? No, but it's still a chance, and they should be giving themselves as many of those chances as they can, but once again, they shot themselves in the foot. And then how about at the end of the game with the punt? where Sean McDermott told us after the game that they only had 9 players on the field. They were missing 2 guys on the field for the final play of the game. Sean McDermott said the call was supposed to be to try and block the punt, but when you have 2 fewer guys than the team you're playing against, good luck trying to block the punt. And Brandon Codrington just letting the ball go into the end zone, not trying to catch it, and the game ending on that play. Just catch it and try and return it. Nothing's going to happen, but it's better than just not even trying, right? So the fact that Sean McDermott told us that was a little bit of a shot at Matt Smiley. Basically, like, this cannot happen. And keep in mind, this is the same game where the Bills had a punt blocked and returned for a touchdown, which also cannot happen. It looked like, from watching the replay, that Reed Ferguson got run over. Now, the way the rule works is they're supposed to have a second before they get touched, and I don't know if he did, but that play cannot happen. Like, that just simply is poor execution across the board, and it was a massive momentum swing in the game. It gave the Rams a 10-point lead, and for the Bills, like, their defense couldn't stop anybody, so then when you spot them another 7 points, it just makes it that much harder of a deficit to overcome. So yeah, it just, like, just think bad coaching decisions once again haunt the Bills. I don't think that this game, a lot of people are going to overreact to this game, and rightfully so. It's a big game in the NFL. It was crazy. A bunch of points were scored. Like, I totally understand that. But I'm not recording this tonight thinking the Bills are any less of a contender than I thought 24 hours ago. I have questions about their defense for sure. But I've always thought the Bills are a contender because of Josh Allen. And Josh Allen went nuclear in this game, and I think he is capable of doing that anytime he steps on the field. So from a big picture standpoint, I don't feel super different about the Bills' outlook moving forward. I just know, you know, the path now is harder. The Chiefs win. Of course, they doink a field goal in. They get the win. Now the gap is even bigger. It feels really, really unlikely that the Bills now are going to be the one seed. Never say never. But just feels unlikely. But yeah, as far as the rest of the game is concerned and just some of the other mistakes that were made, the Bills' inability to stop the Rams was noticeable. I think the Rams had something like 457 total yards of offense. I mean, they ran the ball well, but what's interesting, though, is the numbers aren't crazy. Like, if you just looked at the box score from the game, you'd be like, oh, that wasn't crazy. Kyron Williams averaged 3 yards a carry. He had 29 carries. Blake Corum averaged 4.3, and then Puka Nacua added 3.2. What I will say about those numbers, though, the Bills did make a couple splash plays, a couple short yardage stops that inflate the numbers a little bit. They were getting gashed early in the game, but then the problem turned into they couldn't stop Matthew Stafford in the passing game. I mean, Sean McVay cooked in this game, and Stafford played unbelievable, and so did Puka Nacua, and so did Cooper Kupp. Those two guys, I said before the game, this is probably the best wide receiver combo the Bills will play this year, and then I thought about it more, and I'm like, well, is it Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle? Is there another team that I'm forgetting about? And then I saw Puka Nacua play live for the first time, and I'm like, wow, this guy's unbelievable. 14 targets, 12 catches, 162 yards, 1 receiving touchdown, and a rushing touchdown. The Bills had absolutely no answers for him, and I think a lot of today is about what the Bills did poorly. Their inability to execute, just a not great game for them, especially defensively and special teams. But my goodness, were the Rams good. And the Rams executed this game. I think the Rams team is good. I know their record was 6-6 going into the game. They have been so banged up with injuries this year. Feels like they finally have their group back together. And they just really looked good. So I think that's part of it too. But from a Bills standpoint, they just got killed on the line. The defensive line could not generate any pressure. They never got to Stafford. He was not sacked once. And that let him work through his progressions, buy time, and hit some pretty big plays. I mean, he had a 21-yarder to Nacua. That was his longest play. 37-yarder to Cooper Kupp. A 21-yarder to Tutu Atwell. Like, they were able to extend and stretch the field. And the big thing for me was the third down conversion discrepancy. The Rams were 11 for 15 on third downs. For perspective, the Bills were 5 of 9. At one point, I believe the Rams were 10 of 11 on third down. The Bills could not get the Rams off of the field. And it proved to be one of the absolute biggest differences in the game. How about this one? This is crazy, too. Time of possession. Rams 38-30, Bills 21-30. The Rams finished this game with 17 minutes more of time of possession. They owned the clock. They were methodical. They moved the ball down the field. They converted on third downs, and they kept Josh Allen off the field. And it's a good thing they did, because the way Josh Allen played today, he didn't need to be on the field that much to still throw up 42 points. He was easily the Bills' most, you know, I shouldn't even have to say it, but he was the bright spot for the Bills. Him and probably some of the other pass catchers and stuff like that. But moving forward with the defense, couple things we got to talk about. What do you do with Matt Milano? Because Matt Milano made a couple plays as the game moved on, but also looked a little bit rusty. Not a little bit. He looked rusty early in this game. That is to be expected. I understand that. The Bills have to figure out what's the better approach. Is it just letting him be basically a full-time starter on first and second down when you are in your base defense? Or is it to use him more periodically and get him up to speed that way, because there seems to be, you know, not as much cohesion maybe as there was with Dorian Williams and Terrell Bernard out on the field. You know, there were times where Dorian Williams, you know, also looked like a young player in the league and would get picked on a little bit. But Milano's still a little bit banged up, and it feels like, or not, I shouldn't say banged up, but he's just not what he once was. And that's to be expected. After missing a year, a season and a half of football, it's going to take him a little bit of time to get up to speed, but it has cost him at times a little bit today. I think Taron Johnson is an exceptional player. I didn't think Taron Johnson had a very good game today. I didn't think anybody on the defensive line looked good today. I think once again, we talk about Greg Rousseau and sometimes how he can really take over a game. Greg Rousseau today had one assisted tackle. That was it. Just disappeared. Like, that can't happen. He's supposed to be your game-changing defensive lineman. He was nowhere to be found. Let's see, what else?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee during the Blinds.com year-end blowout. Up to 45% off now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dwayne Carter comes back from injury. Don't even see him on here. So don't even think he made a tackle. The one that a lot of people are going to be talking about is Ed Oliver. Ed Oliver just has not played up to the level that I think we have come to expect with Ed Oliver. They pay that guy a lot of money. I think they need to see more out of him. I think they need to see more about, you know, out of a lot of the guys. Christian Benford and Rasul Douglas. This is the first game this year where they've, you know, not get picked on, but they were exploited a little bit. I mean, they're really tough matchups against Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp, and there's only so much you can do. Benford had a couple plays, but he also got targeted way more than he normally gets targeted. Same thing with Rasul Douglas. Then there's a couple penalties mixed in there and stuff like that. Just top to bottom, the defense was not good enough today. There's very few bright spots from the defense. The one thing I will say, though, is that I do think Sean McDermott will figure something out, because he always seems to figure something out. Now, we don't see him, you know, get carved up like we did today very often, but I do think he's a really good defensive-minded coach, and he will find ways to, you know, fix some of the problems the Bills have had. Maybe that's a better ability to stop the run. Maybe that's using new personnel to try and, you know, be more effective at third downs, or I don't really know exactly what it is. I just think that let's see what they can do. And, you know, it's funny because I saw a lot of people during the game be like, they're playing the Lions this week. Like, if you think this is bad, wait till you see the Lions. I don't know if it could be worse. I mean, they literally scored points basically every time they were on the field. They punted, I believe, once. So you could be like, oh, yeah, wait till you see what the Lions do. I saw what the Rams did, and I don't really know how you could do much worse than what the Bills' defense did on this day. I thought there were a couple splash plays. Like, I actually thought Von Miller was decent today. He made a couple plays at the end of the game. Not a surprise that he would be kind of up against his former team where he won a Super Bowl. I thought A.J. Epinesa had a couple nice plays that I was impressed with. But the fact that I can, like, pick and choose a couple plays, it's pretty indicative of just kind of how bad the defense was. As for the blocked punt, it's just, like, that can't happen. And I know I talked about it a little bit earlier, but, like, that is something that can simply not happen. And when you have your head coach, Sean McDermott, saying that they only had 9 players on the field and then alluding to also the blocked punt and Codrington not bringing it back, the questions about Matt Smiley will swirl. Like, if this season does not go the way the Bills were hoping it goes, there's a chance that they move on from somebody, and I would not be shocked if that was the case. We're way far away from that right now, but just kind of something to have spinning in the back of your head a little bit. Now, as far as the offense is concerned, Josh Allen is the MVP of this league, and I don't even know now if it's close. I understand this was a loss. This was kind of the perfect, like, wins are not a quarterback stat game, but Josh, I mean, he was unbelievable. 6 total touchdowns. And I think I saw he's the second quarterback in NFL history. It might have been like him and Otto Graham to have 3 passing and 3 rushing touchdowns. I know they're all quarterback sneaks. I don't think that takes really away from a lot of it, because he also threw for 342 yards and 3 touchdowns and had 82 yards rushing. So if you took away the 3 quarterback sneaks, that means he would have had 79 yards rushing, which is still just an absurd day from a quarterback. So yeah, Josh Allen was unbelievable in this game. Khalil Shakir was exceptional in this game. There was one play early in the, I think it was early in the second half, where Josh missed Khalil down the field and it hit his shoulder. So it could have been a catch, but it would have been a really tough one. But he also takes a big hit on a deep shot from Josh Allen that was great. He takes that one to the house. He's just a yards after catch machine, 106 yards, 5 catches and a touchdown. Like, there's just so much to like about his game. And it was also very clear that they were trying to get Amari Cooper incorporated into this offense. This number is bananas. He was targeted 14 times in this game. He only caught 6 balls, so they were not very efficient when throwing to him, but he did have 95 yards. Before the game, I said these were my 3 players to watch in the game. I said Amari Cooper, James Cook, and Christian Benford. Well, we talked about Christian Benford already. Amari Cooper we talked about. James Cook, nowhere to be found. So I swung and missed on that one. But going into this game, the Rams' run defense didn't look like it was something that was going to really be an issue. Like, it felt like that was going to be a way the Bills were going to attack them. James Cook, 6 carries, 20 yards. His longest was 8 yards. Then he had 2 catches for 9 yards. So James Cook total offense was 29 yards in this game. So nowhere to be found. They could not run the ball at all, the Bills. It was Josh Allen or it was throw the ball. And that's why he attempted 37 throws. So that's another area where they need to improve more consistently. They scored 42 points with Josh Allen throwing 37 times. I'm never going to be the guy who's like, hey, run the ball more. Josh Allen's your quarterback. Let him just go do crazy stuff and see what happens. You live and die by that. But I do think you need to be a little bit more balanced. You need to be a little bit more unpredictable. And when you have 17 minutes fewer of time of possession, I also think that's a pretty indicative stat of like, yeah, you probably got to be able to run the ball at least a little bit more. Mac Collins was good once again. Mac Collins had 4 catches, 57 yards, a touchdown. He's just been very reliable and consistent for a secondary player. The throw from Josh to him on that touchdown was beautiful. It was a tough catch to make, but it was a perfect ball. He still brought it in, so I think you really like that. He had a great block on the Ty Johnson screen pass that was a touchdown. And how about that? We saw a couple successful screen passes in this game, including the 41-yard touchdown from Ty Johnson. He also had another one where he had a shoestring tackle that could have also almost been a touchdown. I think the Bills ended up punching it in with Josh Allen a few plays later. So that was one of the few developing signs. And I'll say this, scored 42 points. So there's not much negative about the offense. There were times in this game where I thought they missed Dalton Kincaid. There were times in the middle of the field where having another guy I think would have did them a lot of good. Dawson Knox had 1 catch for 5 yards. So the next time we see them play, there's a chance we see Dalton Kincaid, and there's a pretty strong chance we see Keon Coleman. I'm surprised he has not been back yet. But those two guys will add even more juice to this offense, and you know, there's already a lot of juice there. You score 42 points and you still almost win this game. So, you know, I'm leaving this game pretty optimistic about the outlook of the offense and Josh Allen and that side of the ball. Concerned about the defense, but not to a point where I think this changes what the outlook for the season is. It's just going to be a little bit more of a difficult path, right? If they win this game, we're still talking about the one seed and what are the chances of that. Now, it just looks a little bit more unlikely, so the schedule's remaining. So remember, the Chiefs have 1 loss. The Bills now have 3. You also can't sleep on the Steelers, although the rest of their schedule's tough. Here are the Chiefs' remaining 4 games. At Cleveland, home against the Texans, at Pittsburgh, at Denver. There's a chance that they lose 2 of those games, but, you know, they go 2-2. But that would also mean the Bills have to win out. And they're going to Detroit this week. If they can beat Detroit. I really do think they can beat Detroit. I don't know if I think they will, but they can. And then we'll see what happens. So it's not linear, right? Like, we will see what happens. The one thing I'll say is sometimes getting punched in the mouth is a good thing. I really do believe that about football and sometimes even about life. Like, sometimes you need a little bit of adversity to kind of unlock your true potential. And the other thing is they've been a really good team in December, and this was not a really good game. But when they've been a really good team in December, it has led to eventual losses in the playoffs. Remember the Chiefs last year losing on Christmas Day to the Raiders? Everybody thinking, like, these guys are frauds. A lot of people feel the same way about them now. Then they got hot at the right time. They went on a run, and they got good in the playoffs. This team is capable of that. This team is capable of beating anybody because Josh Allen is absolutely absurd. So they're 10-3, an unbelievably fun matchup against the Lions coming up. And, ooh, you know what's fun? I haven't looked at it yet. My guess for that game is Lions minus 3.5. Maybe 2.5. Somewhere in that range, I'm going to guess. I'm going to say Lions minus 3. I'm going to split the difference. Lions minus 3. And we'll go and look after we've done recording this if I was close. But thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Hope you all had a lovely weekend. Sal and I will catch up with each other early on in this week. We'll try and find a Detroit guest for y'all, and we'll go from there. 10-3 for the season. Bills lose 44-42. The sky is not falling, everyone. Reasons to be concerned, yes, but not a reason to panic. The Bills are still very good, and I think they've got the MVP in the NFL. And when you've got the MVP, you've always got a chance. And I think that's still a lot of reasons to be excited about the Bills and their outlook this season. Have a lovely rest of your day, evening, whenever you're listening to this, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.